welcome to the Inside FCA podcast. I'm Esgeir Brahim, and in this special episode, you can listen to a recent speech by the FCA's Executive Director of Markets, Sarah Pritchard, speaking at the Financial Crime Summit in London. Sarah talks about working together with firms and agencies to share intelligence and quickly respond to evolving threats. She also discusses the different ways the rising cost of living will impact financial crime. And finally, she takes time to answer a question from the audience, with her responses brought to you exclusively in this podcast.
Now, today I want to talk to you about the force multiplier effect. And I'm going to start with a question, which is, why are you here? Now, that's not quite as existential as it might sound. I mean, why are you here at a financial crime summit? Why does fighting financial crime even matter? Is it overhyped? Do you even matter in this fight against financial crime, where there are now tech tools that can spot scams as we sleep and speak? Well, the clue as to why you are here is in the name of the conference providers, First Line of Defence. You are the first responders and the front line in the fight against financial criminals, and my main message is that together we can limit their spread. Financial crime is a bit like COVID, and please stay with me. Like the virus, which mutates to evade destruction, criminals seeking to cash out and carry out financial crime are ever-changing, and they constantly will. They will adapt to new weaknesses in the financial system, and they will constantly vary their tactics when targeting the vulnerable for fraud. The pandemic finally looks like it's being curtailed, and that's thanks to a range of actions. The body's immune system, the vaccines developed by pharma companies, and information sharing about the changing nature of the threat all played a role. The response was agile and dynamic, and it involved doctors, businesses, data scientists, politicians, and the public. That's how you defeat a complex and ever-evolving enemy. No one group can do it on their own. If it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a community to defeat a threat. And likewise, the constantly mutating threat of financial crime must also be countered by many measures and many groups which must constantly adapt to defeat it. We all play a part. And you in this room are the first, the second, and the third line of defence. You'll often be the first ones that will spot how criminals are changing their behaviour through unusual transactions or changing trends through reports coming in from your customers. And sadly, we expect financial crime to become even more prolific through the cost of living crisis, which exists as I talk to you today. More than 7 in 10 people say that they've been targeted by scams in the past 3 months by con artists trying to exploit the cost of living. So the best way of us getting ahead of this new wave of financial crime is through being alert and through joined up action and joined up intelligence. We aim for the force multiplier effect. Like the virus, no one is unaffected by financial crime. We must respond as a system in order to defeat it. So whether you are here today, whether you work in one of the 50,000 firms that the FCA regulates, or you're a member of a professional body that we oversee, an effective defence is needed. We aim, as I said, for the force multiplier effect. Professionals in firms scanning and being alert to red flags, using human knowledge and instinct to interpret the clues from conversations and from customer behaviour. Technology which identifies unusual patterns of activity, and information shared with regulators and law enforcement. We cannot do this job without each other, and collectively we can work to keep the system healthy. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the FCA's role. How do we contribute to this effort? Well, our strategy sets out how we work with the UK and global partners to drive a whole system response, and how intelligence sharing is key to this. We are changing as a regulator. We are unleashing our tools more quickly. We're driving improvements in firms' controls, and we're issuing warnings where we see harm, flagging up names and warning lists more quickly, and firing up our Scam Smart campaigns. We're aiming to share more of what we are seeing, examples of good and bad, so that everyone can learn and improve their response. We did this earlier this year when we shared our findings from our review of Challenger banks, as the risks there are no different to the wider risks in the retail sector. There we found weaknesses that could be exploited: weak customer due diligence and insufficient rigour in dealing with transaction alerts. These are important. If you don't know your customer, how can you spot what is unusual? And if you don't review how your alerts are being dealt with, How can you be sure that your system is calibrated well or acting the way that it should? But we saw good things too. We saw using data, tech and geolocation data to verify customer identity quickly. And we saw advanced monitoring for fraud by checking customers that were using multiple devices to log onto their accounts. My message to all firms and to all of you here is this. Embed your financial crime checks in your systems from day one, but keep evolving as the threats evolve too. Use the power of data and tech and keep alert for the situations in which you might need to change and to slightly recalibrate your defences. We're aiming for robust defences, but also to take action where we see problems. As you may know, we set robust standards for crypto firms on anti-money laundering measures, knowing that this sector is targeted as a weak link and open for abuse by criminals. So far, 37 firms have met these standards after following our guidance, but they'll need to continue to meet those standards to keep their registration. But it's not just new high-tech offerings that can be exploited. When we saw criminals targeting the post office network to funnel criminal cash, we worked with law enforcement, the National Economic Crime Centre, industry and government partners to close down these money laundering routes and change the system-wide controls. And we're going to have to stay agile. Just as criminals transform their methods to evade capture, we will have to keep changing our controls to change gaps too. You may have seen us taking action as well. We ordered the closure of crypto ATMs earlier this year, which were opening without regulatory permission. And we prosecuted a major bank, NatWest, for money laundering systems and control failures. Since 2018, we've fined 10 other firms for money laundering weaknesses, and fines issued, including NatWest, have totaled over £665 million. But we all need to think ahead. Foiling crime is about thinking ahead and acting at pace before threats increase exponentially. Sanctions and the war against the war in Ukraine has been touched on earlier in the opening remarks. And earlier this year, when it was clear that Putin was planning an invasion, we acted swiftly. 2 days before the invasion, we told firms our expectations in the event of war. And within days, we'd reached over 10,000 firms within a whole range of sectors to explain our expectations. Our work on sanctions remains ongoing. Using data and intelligence to identify firms with potential weaknesses in controls, and then using data tools to test the effectiveness of those firms' sanction screening and controls, and at pace. And we will warn firms too that if they use vendor solutions for their sanction screening, they need to make sure that the solution is tailored and suitable for their customer and business profile. So I'd like to finally touch on the cost of living. We're asking firms to plan how they're going to respond to the risks of the cost of living crisis. We're already sadly seeing more scams such as loan fee fraud, ghost broking, and false access to rebates from utility companies. And we anticipate a potential rise in people being recruited to act as money mules too, where they're asked to transfer money through accounts by strangers in exchange for payment. The temptation for people in difficult circumstances is huge. But money mules, acting as a money mule, is money laundering. It is criminals trying to move their ill-gotten cash from modern slavery, drugs, fraud, terrorist financing and other crimes. I know you know it can be detected. It can result in prosecution. And importantly, it can involve a red flag in financial records too. So as you sit here today, have you asked what is your firm doing to calibrate your financial crime controls to the changing risks and the cost of living crisis? How are your firm's customers going to be impacted? And is your firm doing enough to raise awareness of crimes such as APP fraud, pension scams and ghost broking so that they're not easily exploited? We need a whole system response, as I've said earlier. We do have a unique role in this as a regulator, but we work closely with government partners, the Home Office, the Treasury, the National Economic Crime Centre, the NCA, international regulators, industry and other partners too. We can reach into financial services not just to test standards, but also to find solutions. Many of you will be familiar with our tech sprints, and later this month, together with the payment systems regulator, we are running a tech sprint to help identify tech solutions that can help prevent APP fraud in real time. We want to test how financial services and other sectors can share data and analytics in real time, and how to spot fraud at source. As the regulator, we've also got reach into the legal and accountancy sector, something that people are not always familiar with through our role for the Office for Professional Body AML Supervisors, otherwise known as OPBAS. OPBAS is 4 years old, and we're increasingly using OPBAS to test how effective professional body supervisors are in their money laundering supervision. And OPBAS 2 is currently consulting on expanded guidance on how to drive greater effectiveness. Much as I'm fond of lawyers, someone has to be one, and I used to be a lawyer, we cannot leave crime spotting to legal compliance or other experts. Fighting crime should never be left to one body or to one team within an organisation. It takes action and vigilance across all sectors in the UK, from the Home Office to the National Economic Crime Centre to the Treasury to other regulators, internationally too, through our networks and most importantly through you, our partners in the private sector, the eyes and ears on the ground. It's that partnership between firms, regulators and government that I think holds the key. Together, we can have a bigger force multiplier effect that leaves consumers more secure and confident, that will boost the health of financial systems that we all rely on and ready to face the next challenge. Thank you.
When taking questions from participants, Sarah talks about the FCA's work with its many partners to address some of the challenges for system-wide effectiveness and the importance of information sharing over the next 5 years and beyond.
And I come back to the theme of collaboration. There has to be an effective system to share information and intelligence where people are evading and changing their methodologies. I know in the UK, this has been the subject of much debate over many years and has been one of the key focus areas of the UK's National Economic Crime Centre, which was published several years ago and which will be updated shortly. And from an FCA perspective, we are fully involved in those discussions with government partners, with industry, with UK finance, and with a range of other partners. But I think in the meantime, you talk sort of 5 years hence, I think there are small actions and significant actions that we can take right now and which we are trying to. I've worked in a variety of different roles in the years gone by. So I've worked in industry, I've worked in law enforcement, I now work in the regulator. And I know from a financial crime perspective, there are so many people all trying to pull in the same direction, but sometimes we don't have that force multiplier effect of common outcomes that are driven. And some of the times I've heard people say, FCA, could you tell us a little bit more about what you are thinking, please? Can you tell us a little bit more about what you think is a good control and a bad control? We may disagree with what you say, but at least we will know where you're coming from. And that is what we're deliberately trying to do in the strategy that we published last year, and which you have seen the Challenger Banks being an example of us trying to share our learning more broadly. So I think the conversations about what does the UK infrastructure look like in 5 years hence, let's let the economic crime plan and the conversations around that work that through. But I think there are importantly small steps that can be taken right now, and the FCA has a role in that. And we will be aiming to talk much more regularly and openly and putting out the results of our supervisory work so that others can learn from it too.
Thank you for listening to this episode featuring Sarah Pritchard. You can find more information on financial crime on our website. I'm Ezgi Ibrahim. Please join us again soon on the Inside FCA podcast.